This morning I'll be reading the New Testament passage first, because I will be preaching from the Old Testament this morning, the passage out of Isaiah. So, hear now the word of God from the book of Romans, Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we do bow before you and pray that you will inspire our hearts and our minds. Help us to learn what you would have us learn as we hear your word proclaimed. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament passage this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, as we celebrate with our graduates, and as we acknowledge their substantial accomplishments, it is truly a time to bow humbly before God. On this Trinity Sunday, we bow before the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the triune God that sustains us and guides us, if only we will listen and trust. Numerous times this past week, I have paused in awe of God's grace as I remember Ladina's sharing with us last Sunday that 10 years ago, faced with the devastating diagnosis of cancer, she prayed to God that she would be able to live long enough to see her only child graduate from high school. Today, she and Charlie witness their gifted daughter, Shaylee, as she prepares to go to Yale and to have her turn at making the world a better place. And we celebrate God's grace. And we celebrate with the Sagabells, Neil and Sally, who followed an uncertain path from Seattle, Washington to Floyd, Virginia, where they have witnessed God's incredible grace as they have been welcomed into this community. They have raised two gifted and accomplished daughters, and Caroline is now graduating with honors and preparing to go to VCU in a very prestigious art program with a life full of promise before her. Would it all have worked out so well if they had stayed in the Pacific Northwest? If they had not had the courage to step out in faith and explore a new home and a new life? We'll never know what might have been, but we do know one thing for certain. God has blessed their lives in Floyd, and we celebrate. And this morning, we also want to remember Joey Condiff. And we're recognizing a family with a long history of service to this community, the Condiff family. And today we celebrate Joey's graduation from medical school. I have not had the pleasure of knowing the Condiffs personally, but I know of the prominence of the Condiff name in this church and in this community over the past two generations. And now Joey has been blessed with the opportunity and the determination needed for a medical degree. God has called him to a vocation of service and healing, and we celebrate. Today, as we honor these three incredible young people who have accomplished so much and who offer us so much hope, now, how can we possibly not join with the prophet Isaiah and proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Yes, we celebrate with you, Shaylee and Caroline, and with Joy. Joy, you know, was graduated from high school just a short while ago, and now he's graduating from medical school. But in the midst of the celebration, let us never forget from whence we came. Let us never forget that there are those gifted young people in this country and in other parts of the world who will never have the opportunities that you have encountered and are about to encounter. When we are blessed with God's grace, and this goes for all of us, regardless of our ages or our positions in life, let us remember that God's grace is not dependent upon our own accomplishments or how much and how hard we have worked. God's grace is unconditional. We will never deserve to be in the majesty of God's presence. And speaking as an older servant of God to the young servants of God, may I remind you and encourage you to always remember this one truth. God's grace is not deserved or earned. It is granted to us freely because of God's love for us. Regardless of where life takes you, and regardless of how much you accomplish, and regardless of how impressive your resume may look someday, it is God who deserves the glory. So in that context, how can we make this passage from Isaiah relevant to our lives this morning? It's quite simple, really. The words we have heard from Isaiah emphasize God's radical holiness. In his vision, Isaiah encounters the first person of the Trinity, the Lord Almighty. He's lifted so high in glory and splendor that even the seraphs must cover their faces. Summoned to the throne of God and surrounded by the awe and majesty of the Lord, Isaiah is struck with the realization of his own unworthiness and that of his people. He is not worthy to stand before the Lord, yet here he is in God's presence. He knows he is unworthy to serve God, and yet what other option does he have here at the throne of God? This is not the time to say no. Rather, for Isaiah, it was the time to say, woe, woe to me, I am ruined. There is a deep mystery at work here. In confessing his sin and his unworthiness, Isaiah is cleansed of his guilt, and he receives a clean heart. And only then can he hear God's call with clarity. Now, did we all hear that message? I'm not just speaking to the graduates, but rather to all of us. In confessing his unworthiness, Isaiah can hear God's call with clarity. It is Isaiah's humility which allows God to speak with clarity into his heart. Isaiah's vision is intended for earthly readers just like us, and it helps us to understand at least three characteristics of God's relationship with us. Number one, God encounters us where we are. It doesn't matter what is going on in our life. It doesn't matter how near or distant we feel to God. God encounters us where we are. Number two, God's word is revealed to us as we worship him. The point of worship is for us to be in communication with God, recognizing his majesty. And it is through worship that his word is revealed to us. And third, God calls us to serve. It doesn't matter what it is, he calls us to serve. You see, Isaiah receives this vision in the year of the king Uzziah died. Now, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, Uzziah was the king who ruled Judah for 52 years, bringing the kingdom to new heights of economic prosperity, military power, and worldly influence. But Uzziah forgot that he was merely an earthly king. He challenged the sacred worship of the temple, and he lost. As mighty as he was, Uzziah was no match for the Lord, and his arrogance led to his death. Prophets are often called to speak the word of the Lord to those who have forgotten the distinction between holy and human. In our scripture passage, the sudden shift from the historical reference of King Uzziah to the heavenly throne of God is meant to set us on edge. It reminds us that God is holy. We are not. This is the realization that hits Isaiah with such overwhelming force. We are sinners. We dwell among sinners, and we live in sin-filled times. Too often, we do not recognize this truth until it is forced upon us. And there is nothing like an encounter with the divine to shatter our self-centeredness and bring us to our knees. Yet it is this realization that opens Isaiah to the possibility of forgiveness. He is touched by divine intervention and made clean, and now he is free to answer when God calls. Isaiah's journey through confession, forgiveness, and hearing God's call occurs in the context of the worship of the holy. In the Christian faith, we understand our worship to be a place where God is revealed to us through the word and sacrament. We come together to praise the Almighty God, confess our sin, and seek forgiveness. We ask God to allow us to hear the word with discernment and to respond to the good news. But it is important also, I think, for us to take another step in our understanding of this worshipful relationship with God. Isaiah's encounter with the living God teaches us that there is no way to know God without being changed. Knowing God changes us. That kind of transformation almost always leads to service. Yes, that means answering the call to work and witness in God's name. It doesn't matter what the work is, or the level of education required, or the length of our resume. What matters is that we discern God's voice. Listen to our hearts, if you will. And if God has given us one gift or many gifts, it is God who deserves the glory. We confess our unworthiness. We clear our hearts of self-centeredness and arrogance. And then God is ready to use us. It is true for each and every one of us, for our young graduates, and for those of us with many miles behind us. So let us hear one more time God's word from the prophet Isaiah. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." On this Trinity Sunday, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, in this and every age, for the power of love that is at work through Christ our Lord. We pray for our world, for all leaders, people, and nations, that we may be transformed by the Holy Spirit into a world that truly cares about the common good. Shield all who suffer from the terrors of violence and war. Bring them to safety and new life in you. Bless your people everywhere with food and shelter, and help us to thrive together by the riches of your grace. We pray for all in sickness or in need, that they may know your healing. And thank you for loving us, dear Lord. And on this particular Sunday, we want to thank you for our graduates, for Shaylee and Caroline. We also pray for Joey, even though he is not with us personally today. We pray that they will be able to discern your call on their lives. We pray that you will bless them, that you will keep them safe, that they will carry with them your wisdom. And Lord, we pray that always they will feel your presence, knowing that you are near. You are there to help them and to guide them every moment of every day. And Lord, thank you for blessing this congregation with these wonderful young people who bring us joy and great pride, the good kind of pride. So, Lord, we just lift all of this to you. We thank you. We thank you for your many, many blessings and the grace that we have received from you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to Him.